I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson co-authored the book Peter and the Starcatchers. Playwright Rick Ellis turned their work into Peter and the Starcatcher, and we'll talk to Pearson and Ellis later in the program. But first, in 1904, St. Louis was center stage thanks to the World's Fair. And that same year, a young chef began writing a book of recipes after being trained and working in France. 50 years ago, his granddaughter discovered those recipes and some other items in an old attic chest, and now, just about 5 decades later, a culinary legacy from Escoffier to today. Please welcome our guest, Karen Mitchum-Steckley. Karen, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm hesitant to call this just a cookbook because that doesn't seem quite adequate.
Well, the publisher feels that way too. It's a book about a man who traveled as a very young man from Denmark to Paris to become an Escoffier-trained chef, much to the objection of his bourgeois family.
And because they thought he could do better than that.
Oh, yes, yes. They were big business people in Odense, Denmark, and a very affluent family. But somehow along the way, he decided that being a chef was his call in life, and he took off to Paris to train as a chef. And I've often wondered how he went. Did he go by train? What means of transportation did he have? He's 16 years old. You're scared. You're young, and you're alone. And I've often wondered what his thoughts were when he made that trip to Paris.
Did you ever find any of those answers?
No. No one really knows in the family how he got there. We just know what happened after he got there.
Well, for those that aren't familiar with the Escoffier name, maybe you should talk briefly about that.
Well, Georges Escoffier, Auguste Escoffier, is known in the foodie world, if you will, in the culinary world, as the king of chefs and the chef to kings. He started training young chefs in the late 1800s. Actually, he started training them in England in the Savoy restaurant and the Ritz-Carlton. He was very close friends with Cesar Ritz, and he also went down into Monaco and Monte Carlo and opened restaurants for him. And it is said that he has trained over 2,000 young chefs. The only time he actually trained in Paris was during the 1896-97 year when my grandfather was there, and we were able to document that it was during that same time that Axel Blumensaat, my grandfather, did train there in Paris with him. And the Escoffier Foundation, while they can't certify that any specific chef was trained by Escoffier because Escoffier kept no records of these chefs, but they matched up the dates to him being there and the recipes, and they feel quite certain that he is definitely Escoffier trained. So that's how we say it's from Escoffier to today.
Axel was your grandfather.
Axel was my grandfather.
You never met him.
I never met him. He died about 7 years before I was born, and he had emigrated to the United States, actually made his final immigration in 1912. He had been back and forth a number of times, but he finally came in 1912 and married my grandmother in 1913.
Well, tell me about that day, what you remember about that day when you were 18 and you were up in this attic. You were not looking for these items. In fact, there's a reason that you would have been surprised that you found them, because it was from the other side of the family.
That's right. I was in Pennsylvania in the country at my maternal grandfather's farm, where I spent a lot of my growing up years, and we had a garage with an attic. I was told to go up and clean out that top area of the garage. And there was a big wooden chest. And I started digging through it, and I came across this old leather register book, actually a kind of a ledger that maybe somebody would do bookkeeping in. It had the little red number at the corner and the blue lines. And I started thumbing through it, and I realized it was my grandfather Blumensaat who had written this in beautiful, beautiful handwritten script. It was my paternal grandfather's book, not my maternal grandfather's book, but it then stood to reason that my father had stored things up there in the attic.
So it must have been in this chest for who knows how long.
I have no idea how long, but at least since the 30s, maybe even the 40s. But as I dug through the box, I discovered a beautiful gold tip fountain pen, the kind you dip in the ink and write with. I discovered a gold toothpick that you rotate and the little toothpick comes up. I discovered a boot hook to actually hook your boots. Mm. And then a whole ream of papers that were all in French and they were recommendations for Axel Blumenstadt from restaurants in Monaco, Ernest, and from the 1900s World's Exposition in Paris. Actually, I have his tickets, and they're shown in the book, in the cookbook that we're now, the Culinary Legacy, his tickets to pass in and out of the exposition in Paris.
And the reason I said that, and we've referred to it briefly in the beginning, was that describing this as a cookbook maybe is inadequate, because these things that you mentioned and other things, all this is included in the book. So there are pictures of some of your other grandfather's items that you mentioned and stories and things.
Correct. We've kind of worked to incorporate the life of this young chef into this cookbook and bring it forward to the present time through the translation of the recipes and the development of the recipes.
Now, it's interesting. You don't read French, speak French. And you didn't then.
No, I
didn't. Maybe you do a little bit now. We'll tell why. But what's really interesting, so you were like 18 so many years ago when you found this, and I guess it maybe sat in your attic for a long time.
Actually, I carried it almost around the world, from Okinawa, Japan, to Washington, D.C., to Chicago. I've lugged this book and all these papers and this pen around, constantly saying to myself, I'm going to translate this book and publish it. And life gets busy.
All of a sudden, 5 decades is gone.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's gone. But then all of a sudden the opportunity to spend 6.5 months in France arose. And I had been going to France every spring for about 15 years, just on a vacation, my husband and I. And now I had the opportunity to go and spend a little over half a year there.
Okay, before we get to that, just briefly, in that time in between, for a long time you've operated a winery and a B&B up in Louisiana. So that's been your home for most of this past 5 decades?
No, I lived in Chicago for a long time, and then 28 years ago, my husband and I moved to Louisiana, and then about 13 years ago, we opened the bistro, the bed and breakfast winery and bakery in Louisiana, the Eagle's Nest.
The Eagle's Nest, yeah. And you still do that today?
Well, we don't have the bistro anymore. When I went to France, when I came back, I then rented the space, the bistro space, out to another restaurant, so I just have the bed and breakfast and the winery and the bakery now.
We're talking with Karen Mitchum-Steckley about her new book, A Culinary Legacy, From Escoffier to Today. All right, you found this in the attic, your grandfather's possessions, the recipes, the other things, in an attic something like 50 years ago. You always thought about doing something with it. Then finally, 1 year ago, you decide to go to France. How did that happen?
Actually, how it happened is that I was overworked and underpaid, so to speak, and my doctors just told me that I really needed to get out of the restaurant business. The stress was causing health issues. So it was decided that I would pack up and go and spend the winter and the early spring in a small perched village in southern France that my husband and I had spent time in prior to this, and we had developed friendships there. So off I went in September of 2012. To a small village called Les Arcs-sur-Agen, and it's just north of Saint-Tropez, about 30, 35 kilometers. It's an ancient medieval village, and at the top of the village is what they call the parage, and you have to walk in, or actually walk up or down. And it's a double-walled village that was started in the 900s and then built further in the 11th century and the 15th century and has been very adequately restored with homes that people live in now today. And there's a home there that we rent, and I rented for the winter, and contacted the owner, and it was available. And so I rented it for the winter and the spring of 2012-13.
And you took your grandfather's recipes with you.
And I took the book with me.
So is that where you met your co-author, Max?
Right. Max Caligari is the executive chef and owner of the Logis de Goudier, which is at the top of the parage. It is also a bed and breakfast and a restaurant, and a very, very fine, fine, elegant restaurant. And he doesn't do a lot of business in the winter, and a friend of ours introduced us about 2 days after I got there, and asked him if he would like to collaborate on the book, and he said, pourquoi pas? Why not?
Did you ever have any little doubts about it? Just, you know, we're all interested in our own families. And did you ever think, well, you know, it's my grandfather, maybe nobody cares but me? And so I'm wondering if you received encouragement from other people that, no, this is a good idea to pursue this.
I did. My husband, John Steckley, was very encouraging. In fact, was willing to say bon voyage for 6.5 months. He did join me over the holidays, but John was very encouraging. Our friends here in Missouri were very encouraging. And when I got there, we already knew some of the people in the village from past visits. But the village really, really reached out and embraced this crazy American woman with her old cookbook and encouraged me. The mayor, the tourism office, other restaurant owners. It was a fascinating experience to be so well received in this small French village. And I had an opportunity to dine in other people's homes and restaurants and discover French cooking today. Good provincial Provence-style French cooking.
What does that mean? You know, I don't know a lot about French cooking, and there are probably some misconceptions about it. I'm assuming a lot of people might think, oh, it's a lot of heavy sauces. It's really fancy and complicated.
You know, that's exactly the opposite of what Escoffier endorsed. He lightly sauced things. He didn't like real complicated dishes. He felt that if it was too complicated, then it was over the heads of the average person to enjoy on their palate. And French cooking in America is perceived as being very heavy, very rich, lots of deep, dark sauces and so on. And it's really not that way at all. Yes, sauces are used, and some sauces are in the book. But I think when people discover the book, they'll see that it's all very light and healthy.
And during your time in France this past year, or last year it would have been, you actually came in contact with an Escoffier descendant.
That's right. Max Caligari, my co-author and French chef, kept telling me every time we would come across another recipe and he would say, I know this is Escoffier. I know this is Escoffier. You must go to the foundation. And the Escoffier Foundation is in the actual home where Auguste Escoffier was born in a small village called Villeneuve-Loubet, which is between Nice and the village of Lazarc, where I lived. So I made an appointment with the director and went over there, and she was absolutely fascinated with the original ledger book that my grandfather had written. And as she would go through it, she'd say, oh, yes, Escoffier, yes, Escoffier. This is definitely Escoffier influenced. And so she started doing some digging and realized that the dates matched up for my grandfather's training and Escoffier being in Paris. And she was very interested and said, if there's any way we here at the foundation can help you with the book, we would be happy to. I left her office and I went downstairs, and there was this very tall, distinguished-looking gentleman standing there who reached out and introduced himself to me as Michel Escoffier. And I thought, okay, who would this be? And he then explained he was the great-grandson of Auguste Escoffier. And he became very interested in the book and invited me back to the foundation to pursue it further. And then he asked me, would it be possible that I could write the foreword to your book? And after I fell off my chair and picked myself up, I thought, this is a great opportunity. And he did.
That must have been special for you meeting him, right? Because here it was your grandfather learned under his great-grandfather. There's a bond there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I got the chills when I found out that he wanted to actually be involved in the book. It was just a fascinating time. And from there on out, the association with him and the foundation and the school here in the United States, the Escoffier Cooking School in the United States, it's been a great, great experience.
Well, just to give us an example, if you would, a couple of just brief, maybe some of your couple of your favorite recipes from the book?
Most of them are my favorites. There are some pâtés in the book that our family has enjoyed for years. The Josephine pâté was my grandmother, Axel Eugene Blumensaat's wife, was Josephine. It's called Josephine's pâté. And I don't know how that originated, but it did, and it's something that our family and friends love. There is a mussel, mussels provençal, which I love, and it's inexpensive, but it's delicious. There are artichoke recipes, and there's a pâté maison, which I fix a lot at home, and the family likes it. And then there's a whole section on consommés, and in that time when he was writing this book, for any formal dinner, a consommé was almost always served, and so we did a section on consommés. And there's a whole section on salads. Some salads from places in the village are featured in the book. And then there's a whole section on chicken, and there is a chicken recipe that once we tested it, I fell in love with it. It's a chicken that's done with carrots, actually, and I didn't think too much of it, but my co-author, Max, said, oh, yes, we have to do poulet sauté cherché, and it is absolutely a phenomenally delicious dish, easy to make. There is a dish in here that is a lamb dish. It's a provincial-style leg of lamb. And friends of mine had me to their home. It is a whole leg of lamb that you set right in the oven on the rack with a pan of potatoes underneath. And the foundation for the lamb is anchovies and bacon and garlic and fresh rosemary. And it's absolutely the most delicious lamb I've ever eaten.
The photographs are beautiful, too.
Well, they're beautiful because we had a stellar photographer doing the photography. The photographer came over at the end of the writing of the book, and his name is Kurt Dennison. He's from Washington, Missouri, actually. He does a lot of work around this area for Monsanto and for physician experiments and surgeries, and he does a lot of food shots. And I've worked with Kurt for years. When I was the food editor for Missouri Life magazine, he did all of the photography. And Kurt flew over with his son, Stephen Dennison, for 12 days. We shot food, lots of food, and we ate a lot, too. But Kurt is an extremely talented photographer, and it was great to have a friend and somebody I'd worked with before doing the photography.
The book is A Culinary Legacy from Escoffier to Today by Karen Mitchum Stuckley. It really all began with a bunch of recipes of her grandfather that she found some 50 years ago, finally had them translated and made into a book. Where is it available? And it's just out, I know.
Well, it is available at the Le Creuset outlet. Le Creuset, the enamel cast iron French cookware, has endorsed the book, and it's at the outlet in Chesterfield. It's at Kitchen Conservatory, right near the Galleria. It's at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and at the Eagle's Nest Winery in Louisiana, Missouri, if you're up that way, and also in independent bookstores around town. And through the publisher, it's Acclaim Press, acclaimpress.com.
If you go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, we'll have more information on that. Well, are you happy with the book? You never met your grandfather, although these are your grandfather's recipes. It's more than just his recipes. It tells the story of his life and who he was. So what do you think your grandfather would say?
The whole family has speculated on that, and we think he would be proud that he's been kind of memorialized, if you will, in the book. And the fact that I was able to bring a lot of life about the village of Les Arcs into the book to bring French life, to the reader here in the United States or wherever the book is purchased, I think he would have liked that because he really fell in love with France and they really embraced him as he cooked along the Mediterranean and in Paris. So we think, all in all, that he would have been very excited. My father is also deceased, and unfortunately we'll never know about it, but they know about it.
And lots of people will from now on. A Culinary Legacy from Escoffier to Today, Karen Mitchum Stuckley. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Next on Cityscape, Peter and the Starcatcher. This is St. Louis Public Radio.